The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next, right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Now I'm covered.
Now for the first time, you can be covered with a quality health plan from the new Health Insurance Marketplace, part of the healthcare law. It's where brand name companies offer plans you can compare side by side, and it's the place to get lower monthly payments.
I'm covered.
So if you have an accident, get sick, or just need a checkup,
I'm covered.
We're covered. Now we're covered.
Enroll now at the Health Insurance Marketplace at healthcare.gov.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 guten Tag.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do,
baby. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the Serious Side.
More troubles today for former NFL star Darren Sharper, who's now accused of sexually assaulting 9 women in 5 states. The former New Orleans Saints defensive back surrendered to police in L.A. last night to face the latest accusations and charges against him.
The Republicans voted as a block against affordable care, and in each case, the liberals won. Eventually, even as the struggle heads to another test this November, with the GOP rear guard sniping away at health care, promising to chop away at the social safety net that the progressives have built in this country. And every voter obviously has a stake.
I have to know, what is it like to be the last black president?
Seriously? What's it like for this to be the last time you ever talk to a president?
It must kind of stink, though, that you can't run, you know, 3 times.
No, actually, I think it's a good idea. If I ran a 3rd time, it'd be sort of like doing a 3rd Hangover movie. It didn't really work out very well, did it?
Good morning and welcome to the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you, folks. Today is March 16th, 2020. 14, and you're in tune to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best. I'm J. Ryle. Of course, the caller number is 347-850-1272. We invite you to be a part of the conversation. That's right. We're back live, and we're glad to be back with you. We've been on somewhat of a hiatus for the past 3 weeks, I would like to say, but we're back in the house, and we're ready to get to the business. Let me introduce you to the palace. Ladies are first, always here on the Serious Side. She is the host of the True Purpose Development Show. She's also the host of Ladies First Radio and the television show Transforming Detroit. She's an author of the book Pregnant in the Spirit. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Adia. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fabulous. Good morning, Jay. Good morning, everyone.
The man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, my right-hand man. I can't do it without this man. He needs no introduction, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you? And good morning, Dr. Adiga. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely well. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well, folks, we missed you, and once again, we'd love to hear from you, 347-850-1272. If not, you can sit back and enjoy the conversation because we have a lot to talk about since we've been gone. And, of course, our main man, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net, our political strategist, he usually comes in after his commitment with Clear Channel Radio. Once again, glad to be back and glad you guys are here for the ride. Let's get into the conversation. First up, former All-Pro defensive back Darren Sharper is in jail right now. The reason he's in jail is because he's been accused of using a drug that people use during date rape. He would drug these young ladies' drinks, then he would have sexual intercourse with them while they were drugged. It's heinous when you think about this. For those of you all who may not have heard of this story, because surprisingly, one of our colleagues from the Jay Ryle Show, he hadn't heard anything about this story. So if you hadn't heard, let's listen to this report from ABC's 15's Mary Ellen Resendez. We'll talk on the other side. You're in tune to the Serious Side.
You are to surrender your passport.
Former NFL player and five-time Pro Bowler Darren Sharper kept quiet in a Los Angeles County courtroom where he's being charged with drugging and raping women. Tempe police say he also isn't talking to detectives over what happened the night he allegedly rendezvoused with a group of women in Scottsdale. Police say they were having drinks when one woman began to feel extremely intoxicated, so her friends returned her to her apartment at the Hub near ASU.
They had to actually carry her up the stairs, and they put her in her room. After they put her in the room, there were a few other girls that were in there, some of her friends. Mr. Sharper allegedly began to mix some drinks, some shots, and he began to give these shots to the girls.
Sergeant Police says that's when another woman started feeling woozy and went to bed. A third then passed out in the common area.
Both woke up the following morning, and they didn't know what was going on, but they felt that they had been sexually assaulted. What they do remember is taking the shots and passing out and laying on the couch and passing out and waking up the next morning.
Both women passed out so cold, Tempe police say the last thing they remember were those drinks. But both went to the hospital where doctors confirmed they had been raped. The glasses they drank from tested positive for Ambien, a sleeping drug.
If you do some research on that, this is a new type of drug that's being used for the date rape type drug.
Well, after you hear that, it's very disturbing, Ms. Elias. Let me start the conversation off with you. We talked about this a little bit yesterday on the Jay Ryle Show, but, you know, obviously from more of a comedic standpoint. When I say comedic, it wasn't really comedic because there's nothing funny about raping women. But, you know, I think our conversation was pretty solid. But let's start off with you. I mean, what do you think about this? Just your thoughts, Ms. Elias, on this guy using a drug to, you know, get women intoxicated and then take advantage of them.
I mean, he's a very sick individual, man. I mean, and you know, he's not a bad-looking brother. So why couldn't he talk his way into it and to possibly having sex with these women instead of, you know, raping them, date raping them? I mean, wow. It's just totally amazing to me that somebody would actually do this to somebody and take advantage of it. I mean, man, there's so many women willing to give sex up these days. For him to just date rape somebody, and he's an NFL star, it was just ridiculous to me. I think the man is sick. I think they need to do a psychological test on this guy and find out what the hell is in his mind, man. So just to rape somebody like that, it's unbelievable. It's unfathomable that he would do something like that.
You know, Dr. Frazier's all deep. When you think about this guy, you think about what he's done, his accomplishments. I know you don't follow sports, but you just have to work with me here on this. This guy is a member of the most popular sport in this country. He played for a team who won the Super Bowl after Hurricane Katrina, which really lifted that spirit, the city of New Orleans spirits up. He was a six-time Pro Bowler, which meant that he could ball, he could play. And for him to resort to these tactics, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, it's sick. That goes without saying. I was
right.
I'm reminded of a conversation I had with a young girl, 26, about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
She said to me that she was hurt, her last child was by her boyfriend. Not her boyfriend, but her best friend, who had been her best friend for years. She did not drink. One night out, told her the same, had her have her drink. He raped her. She got pregnant, and you know, it was a very horrible situation. And this was a friend of hers for years. I don't know what's going on. with this whole date rape thing and why guys think they need to do something like this. Because, I mean, yeah, like just like Mr. Elias said, girls have dropped the panties right at your feet, you know what I'm saying? And for nothing. So, and even if that is the case and that is the probability for men, it still doesn't excuse if they were a man that didn't have a chance or a prayer in hell to have sex with somebody. It still doesn't excuse them taking advantage of someone, dehumanizing them by raping them and taking what is theirs. It is sick, and he's obviously dealing with a sickness that needs to be dealt with. I don't know if jail's gonna remedy anything. Probably, I'm sure not. But at the same time, he needs to go where he needs to go to find himself, because he is lost, and that is very sad. And I feel I feel bad for the young lady where in which this took place, who in which this took place with. And all I can say is just sad.
Well, when you think about it, you talked about, first of all, I think there were people on the show last night who thought that this guy is going to, you know, see daylight again. With all the charges he has against him, I doubt it very seriously. But, you know, you talked about power. You talk about having the ability to dominate a person. When you talk to a lot of criminal psychologists, when they try to, you know, figure out what makes a serial killer ticks, you know, one of the things that always comes up is power, having the ability to dominate another individual. Let's bring in one of our colleagues, County Wood from County Wood Nation. Good morning, County Wood. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. J, Mr. Elias, Dr.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, County, what do you think about the story, County Wood?
Well, I've been actually following this. As a survivor of being raped by someone who I thought was a friend, this guy's a serial rapist.
Sorry to hear that, baby.
You know, this guy's a serial rapist. And when I say that, he went from state to state. He's done, you know, saying he, you know, New Orleans. He's done across the country. Should he see daylight? There's no cure. You can't sit up here and tell you take some pills and there's a cure for a serial rapist. They should put him under the jail where he belongs, because it is not even up that you're giving me, you know, to say no. You are drugging me. You are, you know what I'm saying? You're drugging me. I mean, I've never taken a drink from someone in the street, ever. Manson's a drink over? No. Somebody sent me a drink over last night. I'm like, no, I don't know. I'm not doing it. Because people, if the world we live in now is evil, and the fact that you can't even just simply just take a drink from a handsome gent, still was fine. Like you said, jaws dropped all day long. So you got to go there. It wasn't enough that they were giving it to you. I've been around athletes. You got everything from the rooter to the throwing it at you. But you had to go out and drug the average girl who you couldn't run game on, who didn't care you were Joe Smo or whatever, and do that. You should be under the jail. Okay? Now, what they're going to do to this pretty little butt in jail deserves it.
You know, when you think about this, you know, Serena Williams got in trouble a few years ago when she talked about a situation where a young lady was in a very similar situation where she was around, hanging around some guys, and, you know, and she ended up getting drunk, and I think the guys sexually assaulted her, and Serena said something that really set off sparks. She said, look, the young lady shouldn't have never had herself in that situation. And a lot of people went ballistic behind that. Serena ended up apologizing for those remarks. You can go out there on the web and find the exact details. I can't remember it in detail as far as what happened. But, you know, it goes back to, you know, Collywood said something, Mr. Elias, that really caught my attention. She talked about how, you know, athletes, they run around, they can get whatever they want, and, you know, this is maybe this was a situation where a young lady said no. I don't know if that was the situation, because in some cases, you know, they were all partying back at his place or whatever his hotel room was. You know, why would you put yourself in the situation where that could possibly happen? Not saying that it's their fault, because sometimes when I say things like this, people misconstrue that. Oh, my God, Jay, I can't believe what you're saying. I'm just saying, when will the young ladies learn? I'm talking to Mr. Elliott, so I'll get you, Kellywood. When will the ladies learn that, you know, this is all about? I mean, is it really all about trying to get a baller? You put yourself in that type of situation?
Well, maybe they were starstruck, Jay. Maybe they thought that this guy was a nice guy. You know, they've seen him on TV. A lot of people that see people on TV don't know who they really are. So they're probably starstruck. And it's like, oh, he's probably pretty cool to hang out with. You know, and a lot of people like the fact that they hang out with a baller, that they know these celebrities. And you know, some of these celebrities are very sick people, man. It's a proven fact. So, I mean, the bottom line is, she probably put herself in that situation because she thought she was safe, and that this man that she knew on TV
Absolutely. Or
seen him on TV was just going to be okay with her. He wasn't going to do anything derogatory or to tear her down or to hurt her. So I can't sit there and say that he was the average Joe Schmo, because she'd seen this guy probably as a football player, a star, and that if she was going to give it to him, she's going to give it to him anyway. But if she wasn't, she knew that he had a lot to lose. You know?
No, that's a good point.
A lot of people have a lot to lose.
You were about to say something, Callie. What are your thoughts?
And exactly the same thing. I don't put myself in situations. I don't go, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going home with a stranger. Like you said, you think you know him because you see him on television. You have to take accountability, too. But some of these ladies were just women that he saw in the club. You know what I'm saying? Sent over a drink, you know, one of the women that the first one was somewhere like they were having a date or something, and she just started feeling sick and ended up at his house. All these other women, yes, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, end up at his house, taking a drink from a strange. What do you think is going to happen at 2 or 3 in the morning when you're going to a strange man's house? You're going probably there, like, to have sex with him. So you don't have to drug him because you already got him at the house at 2 and 3 in the morning. Any woman that's coming back to you at your house at 2 or 3 in the morning after hanging out at the club and drink with you, that puts that the same thing on your mind. So there's no reason to drug them.
Go ahead, Dr. Priscilla.
I'm reminded of my early 20s, college days. I'm reminded of all the, you know, how we would go different places just to hang out. And at the time, I didn't drink, so I didn't take drinks from anybody, and they knew I was the little, you know, they called me the little church girl or whatever. But I hung out, quote unquote, with my little tap of friends and people. And sometimes I remember us girls going to places like it was the Pistons and the Lions played on the university campus. So we would go and hang out with them and do different things. But there's a sense of type of security that you feel kind of when it's somebody, especially if you know they're famous. It's like, and I can remember back then, and even me now, I mean, I think there's, I follow my intuition more now, but I mean, I still, you know, you would think that someone who's really big and really famous, that they just would be less likely to do something. And especially when you have somebody that's coming off kind and you're really nice. And they're like, hey, girl, come on over. You know, we're going to have a good time and blah, blah, blah. People hang out. And just because somebody hangs out at 2 in the morning, maybe the club went down and you guys go and crash at another place. I've done that a lot of times when I was in my 20s. And nothing happened to me. We had a great time. We got up. Everybody made breakfast. I don't know what other people did in their rooms, but I know I didn't do anything. And nobody tried to do anything to me, and we just had a wonderful time. But today's age, you know, denotes something else, and it places fear in us. So now we have to be more watchful. We have to tell our little girls and, you know, to be careful, even the guys. You know, we have to tell our children to be careful more. But that's not the conversation that my mom had with me when I was growing up and in my 20s. Yes, she said be careful, but you kind of feel kind of safe, you know, when somebody who has a big name says, hey, let's go hang out. I mean, it's to say that, oh, just because they came over at 2 o'clock, they're looking for sex. I don't think so, because I was one that wasn't. And I was one that would do that just out of my maybe naivety, and maybe I was green as hell, but I really felt like it was okay. And I don't think everybody has sex on their mind.
Well, let me ask you this, Ms. Elias, and 347-850-1272, 18 minutes after the hour, you're in tune to the Serious Side. You know, when you think about this, does this remind you of the Mike Tyson situation back in 1991? Remember that situation, Ms. Elias?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So now, let's go back. I'm not trying to point fingers now. For those who may not remember what happened, Mr. Elias, why don't you tell the listening audience about that whole situation with Mike Tyson back in 1991?
Well, Mike Tyson took a young lady named Desiree Washington up to his room after hours, and she said he forced her to perform oral sex on her, right? And she said that he forced this on her, which I've never heard of a case like this before in my life, and I thought that he had forced her to do him, but no, she said he forced himself on her, so he could perform all sex on her, and they sent Mike Tyson to jail. They sent him to jail. That one was amazing to me. That one was, you know, and I've watched the Mike Tyson Undisputed, his talk, and you can tell his brother, he's very bitter. And the fact, I still don't think Mike Tyson did it. I think he might have done it, but I don't think he...
Why? Just because they had oral sex and it wasn't penetration? I mean, what do you mean? Somebody can force themselves to have oral sex.
If I could finish before
you interrupt
me, I would...
Let him finish, Dr. Prince, though, do you, before you start jumping in there. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ms. Elias.
Because of the way Mike Tyson, his attitude was, you know, he was defiant even until the end. If you look at Mike Tyson right now, he can't even talk about it because he's so disgusted by it. And the fact, he physically forced himself to have oral sex with her. I mean, I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe he did it. I don't believe he physically took what he wanted to from her.
I don't think so either. I don't want to mix apples and oranges, but you're right. I don't think he did, and I thought it was more than that. It was a situation where, in my opinion, they did not listen to all the facts. They just didn't like Mike Tyson. You know, that the fact that the girl's friends had said she was going to go and be with Mike Tyson and all this other stuff, and Mike Tyson to this day still thinks that the reason why she did this was because after he was done, he just dropped her off and said, hey, see ya, and she didn't like that. And so, you know, the bottom line is, this is not the same situation, though. I want to make sure that we're clear on this. This is a situation where rape kits were used, okay? These women were raped while they were unconscious. They found this drug that's a very popular drug used during the date rape type situation. For those of us who have daughters, it's really disgusting, and it makes me just sick to the stomach when you think about how someone could do this. Once again, it doesn't matter what his status is. I think the reason why we're all somewhat, you know, miffed at this, Mr. Elias, because of the fact that this is a guy who is not only, you know, once again, a Super Bowl hero. This guy is one of the best who's ever played the game in his position. He's a very nice-looking young man. This guy dated Gabriel Union, for Christ's sake. Why would you have to take women and do this? I think that's the reason why people are saying, wow, it's a mental illness. Dr. Prince, you talk about this all the time. Maybe it's a situation, Mr. Elias, where this guy is mentally disturbed.
Can I comment?
Who's that?
That's Rich's sister.
Oh, good morning, Rich's sister. I know you were on the line. Go ahead.
I just wanted to, hello to everyone on the line.
Good morning.
What I was going to say is, because you were first talking about, well, he has all this going for him with career and all that stuff.
Right.
Unfortunately, career ain't got nothing to do with personal issues.
Thank you.
Especially childhood issues. Because you think about, because like you said, rape for the most part is really a power issue.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, is he used this to play out whatever power issues he had from childhood? You know, you think back, okay, where did he feel somewhere in his life where he didn't have no power, didn't have no control? So, unfortunately, he chose this route to try to exert some control. Now, making ain't no excuses for him at all, but I'm just saying to, because you, just to focus on that point, talking about he got so much going for him. Well, when you dealing with these childhood issues, these personal issues,
mm-hmm.
career ain't got nothing to do with it. It's a mental problem.
Absolutely.
347-850-1272 is our call-in number. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rao Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. We're talking about the Darren Sharper situation, how a young man who, very nice-looking young man, I keep emphasizing that, because, you know, you would think, you know, Mr. Elias, listen, there's no excuse for this, but you know, if he was a guy that was a pretty rough-looking guy and all this stuff, this guy, once again, dated Hollywood Scarlets, and yet and still he finds himself in this situation. Now, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, why do people somewhat go ridiculous ballistic behind sex? And I don't want to really get into the gooey details on a Sunday morning because, obviously, due to the time slot that we're on, but it makes you think, why would a person risk so much? A person that seems to be a sane person, if you go back and watch him, all his interviews, see the great thing about – it's not the great thing, I should say. Let me use a different term. I guess the one thing that we can use to our advantage, Mr. Elias, in a situation like this is that there's so much footage of this guy. You know, he seems like a normal brother that we all would, you know, have drinks with and hang out with. He seems to be funny. He seems to be intelligent. So then it makes you wonder, unless he's just a mentally sick, crazed individual, why would he risk everything, Mr. Elias, to for this? Because now he's in for the fight for his life. I just don't get it.
Well, you know, same thing with serial killers. Some people say some of the serial killers, you know, just seem like a normal, every average day people. And, mm-hmm. you know, obviously this guy has a mental illness. He does. He's mentally ill. He's got to be to run around the country, you know, giving women date rape drugs. When all he had to do was, you know, actually talk to them, man, to get what he wanted from them. You know, wow. I mean, I don't get that to this day, why a man would rape a woman in this day and age. I don't get a point where men would rape any women. It's ridiculous to me that you would have to rape a woman that and take what you want from somebody who isn't willing to give you what they want. It's just ridiculous, man, to take that approach to a woman. It's just I don't get it, man. I don't get it, and I'm not the best looking brother in the world, man, but wow, just to go out there and take something from a woman that you want, when all you got to do is try and talk to her and get what you want, it's just ridiculous to me. It's just totally damn ridiculous.
Yeah, and the fact that it's so easy to talk into something, I guess that's a different topic for a different day. Let me get it. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
I would like to say something.
Well, hold on for a second, Dr. Prince. We're about to close the set out. I want to let everyone get an opportunity. Matter of fact, since you're up, go ahead and take this opportunity to close out this set. Respond, please.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I keep hearing, because of what he has, and like with Rich Sister, I was like saying amen in the background here. We're talking about what he has and how he has, because of what he has, how could he really, like, oh, wow, I mean, that's really bad because of what he is. And, you know, that mm-hmm. sounds like the kids who came in and blew up the Boston Marathon. Oh, but they were rich. Look at where they come from. How
I don't think they were rich, but
we
go
don't
ahead.
Understand. Well, you know, they came from. They didn't need anything. Of course, you know, as far as the physical and the financial means would provide, they seem to have had a decent life, quote unquote.
Okay.
So
okay.
The thing is, what I'm saying is that we get so caught up in the titles, the social statuses, etc., where we don't, as individuals and as a people, focus enough on self-development.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently has issues, and that goes without saying. He's mentally ill, and he needs some attention. He needs to, we don't know his life. We don't know where he comes from. It's not to justify his actions, but it's to also an opportunity to have an opportunity to understand and have some compassion. And he's obviously sick, and there's something deep-rooted in his own life that has brought him to this resolve. And being a football player or being fine as ever would not cover that up. All of the things that we go after in life, it's not going to cover up our own truth. One day, it's going to come out in one way or the other.
Okay, let me give everyone else an opportunity because we're running behind here. Real quick, Kylie, what your final thoughts on this particular topic?
My final thoughts is I hope he fries. I'm just being honest. I hope he fries. I have nothing else to say about it. It's disgusting, and he didn't have to deal with it. And like everyone said, what he had and how he looked, all that doesn't matter. He has an issue. He's a serial rapist, and the justice system will deal with him, and so will the guys in the jail.
Well, let's hope that that's the case. Rich Sister, give me your final word on this particular topic.
Well, too, I want to just echo what's been said already about we as women, we need to take our responsibility, too, for these situations as well, because especially if you go back to the room with the man. So it's true, we all just need to take our responsibilities and be careful. Not to excuse him at all. What he did was seriously wrong, and he's going to get his day in court for it. But we as women, we need to take more responsibility, too, and be careful in those situations.
Very well said. Well, first set in the books. Once again, it feels good to be back in the seat and back to be live. But coming up next, we're going to talk about the GOP's attempt again to shut down Obamacare. Man, when are they going to get it? It's not going to happen. You're listening to The Serious Side. It's Sunday morning. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is your resident map of the South, Mom to Little Donna, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, The J. Rouse Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host, Princess Odelia, and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, The J. Rouse Show. Every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, The J. Rouse Show. A show for women, by women.
The Republicans voted as a bloc against affordable care, and in each case, the liberals won. Eventually, even as the struggle heads to another test this November, with the GOP rear guard sniping away at health care, promising to chop away at the social safety net that the progressives have built in this country.
Three four seven eight five zero one two seven two is our call-in number. 347-851-272. Welcome back in to the second set of the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio. And especially, let's say good morning to our panelists this morning. Once again, let's say good morning to the very lovely Dr. Princess Adelia. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and I didn't say it the first time, but welcome back, Jay. We missed you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And, of course, Rich Sister is sitting in with us this morning. Good morning, Rich Sister.
Good morning, everyone.
And our colleague, Calliewood, sitting in this morning as well. Good morning, Calliewood. How are you?
Good morning, the handsome one. How are you?
Thank you so much, sweetheart. And, of course, the man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, everyone.
You can be a part of it, 347-850-1272. Right now, it's time to get into the second set. And I tell you what, you know, they say the definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing over and over and over again and get the same results. So, if that's the definition, Ms. Delias, let's start the conversation off with you. Talk to me about the GOP. Why do they continue to try to vote down Obamacare? This is they held the 51st vote, Ms. Delias, this past week to try to defund and eliminate Obamacare. What the hell's going on here, Ms. Delias?
It's a platform for these guys to run off of. They're close to the November election, so it's a platform for them to run off of. They can go back to their constituents who are people that are against the Affordable Health Care Act and say, hey, look, we voted against this. This is what we're trying to do. And if you continue to reelect us, this is what we're going to continue to do, to try to defund the Affordable Health Care Act. And if anyone knows, with any smarts about themselves, know that they're not going to be able to defund the Affordable Health Care Act, not unless they take complete control of the House. You know, then yeah, they got a great chance at it. But then hell, even if the president's a Democrat, he can veto what they're saying. So it's a total shell game to say, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. This is what I believe in, and I need your votes, and I need you to reelect me so I can keep fighting for you. And that's all they're doing, man.
Now, Calliewood. Now, keep in mind. Now, just there was a very hotly disputed race in Florida where the race was based on health care, and the Republicans won, and that's the reason a lot of people think that, okay, wait a minute, the referendum was on health care. We won that very heated, contested battle in Florida. Maybe this is the reason why we bring this back up. Maybe there's hope for us to get rid of Obamacare. Your thoughts?
Well, their hopes on getting rid of the Affordable Care Act is just on the basis of the fact that the President Obama got it through when they couldn't get it through 9 years ago. Okay, so I think it's just what they want to pick as the thing to tear down his legacy. I just feel that they need to find something else to jump on when it comes to President Obama. The Affordable Care Act is not the solution or saying that you're voting against it is the solution to make your constituents happy, when this is a bill that is obviously helping several individuals. Me too. I'm taking advantage of it. I've been to more doctors than doctors can say. Doctors, they've taken more blood from me in the last month than they've done in the last 9 years. So, you know, these are the individuals who don't understand what it is not to have health care because they've always had it. So I'm with the Affordable Care Act. There's nothing they can say or do because it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and that's my point. I'm glad you brought that up because, Mr. Elias, I was going to say the same thing. With the number of people that are enrolled in this thing now, there's no way they can turn the clock back. I mean, the Republicans are defeated on this. But once again, Dr. Princess Odia, it's a situation where, you know, Florida, because that was the hot, that was the topic. They, you know, the Democrat ran on health care and made it a central focus of their campaign, and they lost. So the Republicans are saying, hey, wait a minute now. If that's the case, we don't, there's a possibility that we can still push this Obamacare thing. So here's my question for you. Is it a situation where Mr. Elias said they are against the Affordable Care Act, and that's the reason they act the way they do? Is it a situation that they're against the act itself, or is it a situation where I think we all know the answer to this question, but let's do it anyway for entertainment purposes? Is it a situation where they are against the president, not necessarily the act itself?
You know, it's sad, but I don't even think they spent enough time studying the Affordable Act for them to know the benefits or even know how it works well enough, so much because they're so against President Barack Obama and his efforts. So, yeah, they, of course, we know that answer, that they are against President Barack Obama. They don't like what he did. They don't like the success story. And yes, he's on his way out. So they want to tear down whatever possible positive that there could be associated with our President Barack Obama. Even those who have, now they have a lot of disclaimers out there. I mean, there's so many commercials now with individuals talking about how they had ailments and I think it's fair that we talk about this as well. We shouldn't be one-sided. There are individuals that are out there saying that as a result of the Obamacare, they are not able to continue with services that they were getting before. Or you have individuals, even cancer patients, who are on chemo, who have stated, and this has been in the news, in the commercials just as well, that they had to stop procedures. When they were on death, they were already on their deathbed because there were some glitches in the program. So what do we say to that? Now, they can ride on that, and they have something that they're hanging on because there are people that it has not been such a benefit to, realistically. So let's talk about that, too, Jay. I mean, we can't be how they are. They're
well, those are, yeah, well, let's
so
talk
let's
about them. Because
yeah, yeah.
Well, those are half-truths, Dr. Princess Odia, and I think that you've fallen into, yes, it is, you've fallen into what the Republicans
have been
pushing.
I said let's talk about it.
Well, it's half-truths. And so, you know, that's what the Republicans want you to believe. They want you to believe that Obamacare, the reason why people are falling off Obamacare or the reason why, you know, it's costing this, that, and the other is because of Obamacare. Those are half-truths. And so it's just like with CLS, it reminds me a little bit of the situation with the guy with Papa John's Pizza. You know, the reason why I would never eat another slice of Papa John's pizza is because he tried to blame the president. He said, I'm going to have to lay all these people off because I can't afford to give my employees, you know, health care. And it's like, okay, so you're going to use this as a reason as to why. The reason why you're doing this is because what's happening is if you give your employees health care, then it's going to affect your bottom line. So you're not rich enough, so you want to say, well, it's because of the Affordable Care Act. That's the reason why things are going to hell in a handbasket.
Jay, can I say something, though?
Yeah.
I have very close friends who have – now, I'm for the health care, so don't get me wrong. But I am also sensitive, and I haven't had time, but I would love to dig deep into their situations that are some real situations. Like one of my girlfriends. It's her real situation. Her whole thing when she switched over to the Obamacare in trust and in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
Her health care went way high. Some things that were covered weren't covered anymore. And I was surprised. And I was thinking, and I can't speak to it because I have not done all of my thorough homework either. But maybe there's just, because from my understanding, there's a way that you have to enroll. There's a certain way to do it. That's why they have agents who are trained on the subject, okay? So maybe she did something wrong. Maybe a representative helped her, or maybe she didn't have a representative help her, and as a result, she just registered something wrong, and it unfortunately switched what she had. Whereas if she just would have been educated on the process as to how to do it properly, maybe it would have worked out differently for her. Those are probabilities. I don't know. But I'm saying they are also real issues. So I think to actually say, and we're all in media here, to say that, brush it off. Oh, they just, that's just something they're just saying. No, it's not. These are real cases, and I've only mentioned one, but I've got quite a few. I'm just very obstinate, not obstinate, but I'm very adamant on the program. So I'm standing in my position to say, no, I support the Obamacare because I'm thinking about the big picture. So there are some real cases out there, Jay, that are truthful.
Well, but once again, I still think that you're running into the Republican talk machine. But that's okay. But we'll get into it. Let's bring in our political strategist, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great, man. We're talking about Obamacare. The Republicans continue to try to shoot it down. The 51st vote happened last week, and once again, they failed. But right now, the question on the table is the fact that, there are people out there, according to Dr. Princess O'Dea, she knows one person that who is suffering because of Obamacare. And so are several. So you want to comment on that, Jerome?
Yeah, and that's pretty it's going to happen. You're going to probably have a couple. There are a lot more people who are benefiting. There are people who are that are saving $700-$800 a month on their medical costs. Like the difference is how you end up explaining what is actually going on. Now, anybody who's had health insurance in the past, who belonged to private plans, worked in corporate or anything, your insurance, your company evaluated your insurance every year anyway. Our insurance plan always went up. That's what the private markets are about. And so since you don't have a public option, the government is not price controlling your insurance for what private companies can do to you. So they're using it as an excuse, just like they used the excuse of the economic crisis to fire all of these people. Because once you get rid of your labor force, you can make everybody else work overtime and make more money. So they took the opportunity. I mean, this bill was signed in, 2010. They had 4 years to get prepared to do it. They waited and used it as an excuse to up people rates and to get them out of there who were higher risk. They were doing the stuff anyway. I worked for an insurance company, and I used to say this all the time, is that insurance is gambling, right, whether it's health insurance or life insurance. So they actually decide your rates on a scale, the percentage of people who could possibly be sick opposed to the ones that are healthy. And when insurance companies started just kicking your butt off just because you were sick, they were increasing their profit margin, which should have been illegal to begin with. So all affordable health care does as the act, it regulates it a little bit and says, hey, pre-existing conditions, you can't do that. For keeping your kid on to the age of 26, now you can do that. You can keep them on the parents' policies for those people who are going to grad school or whatever. Doesn't matter. As long as they're under 26, they can stay on. And they just kind of changed those things, but it did not make public health care. People keep thinking that those health exchanges is somehow public health. It's not. Those are private companies. And so what it did is it allowed companies to come in and actually undercut some of those other companies that were raising everybody else's rates. And again, even in a personal way, I can tell you, I know people who medication has gone down like crazy because they were being overbilled because they had good insurance. So once they had to qualify through the state exchanges to actually sell insurance in New York State, some of them fools dropped out of there. They were actually ripping people off. So you can say what you want as individuals to make that personal, but I can tell you the overwhelming amount of people who was helping is astronomical. And then you can look at also, I'm sorry for rambling about this, but it just seemed like it's silly that we keep revisiting this just because somebody took a vote. The problem is it's the lowest health care cost, and this grew at the slowest pace in 50 years, right? And we need to understand what is going on in the big picture. So the big picture just says that health care cost has gone down across the board and is the lowest that it is in 50 years because of that health care law. People can't charge it frivolously anymore.
Right, and see, and that's the thing I think people need to understand is that, and this is what I don't get, and you know, Mr. Elias, it goes back to if you break things down to the simplest point of breaking things down. You know, everyone wants choices. You know, when you go and buy or purchase items, you want choices. All the Health Care Act is doing is giving you choices, folks. You can choose, you know, what marketplace to go and do your business. So what that does is that makes people, now they have to be more competitive. Remember, Mr. Elias, when it was just Ma Bell. Ma Bell could do whatever they wanted to do to your phone bill. They could up, down, whatever, because there were no other players in town. But once they got into a position where they said, okay, we're going to do away with that. Everyone could come in now and participate. Now you have all these different companies out there. You know, you had Verizon. Well, not Verizon at the time. You had Sprint. I think they came into the play, into the picture early. But you had all these phone companies come in, which now made the rates competitive. And so we as the consumer, we benefit from that. And, yeah, you're right. There's going to be stories of people that may be in a situation where things may not go their way. But, you know, we talk about this all the time, especially, you know, from being a soldier, we talk about collateral damage. You know, unfortunately, you know, some people will suffer for the greater good for most. So, yeah, you may have situations like that. But overall, like Jerome said, I think it's doing what it's supposed to do, Mr. Elias.
Well, I agree. It's doing what it's supposed to do because our health care and the union went from $20,000 a member down to $9,000 a member. So, I mean, it's doing what it's supposed to do. And like you said, there are going to be some people that are going to say it didn't work for me. Everything is not going to work for everybody. That's the point of life. That's a natural fact of life. But the fact is that it's helping the moral majority of people, and that's what we need to be looking at is the moral majority of people.
And, 5 minutes and, before the go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, man.
Now, 5 minutes before the top of the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best, 347-850-1272 is the calling number. Go ahead, Mr. Elias. I'm sorry about that.
No, I love to help the moral majority of people when it's low in health care. And as far as medicine, man, it's doing a tremendous job. If you look at the medicine the way it's helping, it's where it's supposed to be at, man. I just wish they got the single payer plan in there. That's just my personal opinion.
I agree with that. I also want to say that we have to remember that affordable health care was put out there for people who don't have insurance, not for people who do have insurance either.
Right.
And so if you just look at it by the numbers, there's 13 million people under the age of 26 who gain coverage. 13 million people. We just keep thinking about the people who didn't have it, who's getting it now. So those numbers are like we're about at, you know, a little over 3 million of people who didn't have coverage and 4 million when you expand coverage with children and people who with the Medicaid expansion. There's 9 million with the expansion on the Medicare in the Medicaid side. So we're only talking about 4 million people when you talk about just the people who didn't have insurance before. But if you add the 13 million people who are added that are under the age of 26, you'll see how big those numbers actually are. It looks different. Depends on who's selling it.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that's the reason why, you know, people talk about the fact that in order for the health care cost account, you know, and I guess the word I'm looking for is to try to balance itself out. It's important and imperative for them as the administration to get more young people involved. It's just like with your organization. You know, when you have an organization, I was an HR director for an organization, and our workforce is pretty old. And, you know, the thing is our health care was higher because we had too many people at risk on the health care plan. So one of the things that really made our health care costs go down was the fact we were able to get more young people on the plan. Because, health, like Jerome said, it's a risk. You know, if you have, you know, young people, you know, normally young people are not going to have all the medical situations that older people, older Americans will have. You know, so the bottom line is that's why you see the president going on two firms, which we're going to talk about in the next set. You see the fact that they're really going after the young crowd because to get those costs very competitive, they really and truly need to have an influx of these young people, Dr. Princess LD, to come on board.
Oh, I think that's very true. Like my son is 21, and prior to this, he had to go at it for himself. As you know, he's 21, he has to do everything himself. But now I found out, you know, through the Obamacare, I'm able to put my son on there, and I think it's helpful because at their age, you know, to put. You know, it's a lot, life skills that have to go into their development. And when they're trying to go to school and work and get their lives together, I think it's a great hump, you know, for us. And it does help a lot. So, I mean, I want to say, too, to the fact that when we're talking about this Obamacare, and I know that there are so many people that it has helped so much, tremendously, that I still think I think it's important, and I don't think we should just push it aside, the issues that people are having. For example, the people that were getting certain benefits, chemo and things of that nature, and they had to stop and it's not covered, or they're not going to they're not able to go to the same doctors, et cetera. Not that we push it aside or that that's like a taboo conversation, but I think one day, how about we talk about some answers for these people? Because maybe, I mean, we're not digging either. We're just saying, oh, look, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. But there are some people that may listen to the show and say, look, you know, hey, look, I'm having this issue. Well, does anybody have answers for these issues? Or do we just say, no, it works. That's it. It's helping other people. You know, screw you. You know, and I know we're not saying that, but I'm saying that's also a conversation. And I don't want us to continue in the same habitual state of the GOP. They didn't educate people on it. They've just been trying to get rid of it. They spend more time giving bad publicity. I don't want us to spend all our time, they're wrong. And these other cases are happening. What do we say to that? And I'm going to suggest somebody who's actually one of the he's a leader with the Obamacare. He teaches and all of that stuff. And I think I even told him about coming on the show to give us some answers because that's important too.
I agree with that. Go ahead, Jerome. I want everyone to take a crack at it. Go ahead, Jerome. You first.
You know, and the reason I want to say this, and I want to be really clear, if that story about the chemo one was the one from Fox, they already debunked that story. We have to watch where we get our news and information from. Again, affordable health care is starting to insure people who didn't have insurance. But when your private insurance company kicks you off of your insurance, there's nothing that the administration can do about it. They could have done it before. This is nothing new. People got kicked off their insurance while they were, you know, they called it a pre-existing condition if you had cancer before, and then had a recurrence of it and got kicked off your insurance company. We just didn't get the news stories because that wasn't that big because as an individual, they didn't really put that on national news. So we need to be really careful about wanting to just be critical, just to be critical. The fact is that this is not a public option. This is not public health care. Private companies can do whatever the heck they want to, and when that happens, we need to look at laws like affordable health care that says you can't just kick people off. So, yes, there are individuals that's going to be affected that had certain health problems, and the companies that are not qualified to operate within your state or to provide certain coverage cannot do it anymore. Just go to another one, and you'll find that there are a lot of other companies that are in those exchanges now that will take up the slack in which the company that you had before is there. I'm not saying, well, I'm not going to qualify it, but I just want to be really careful to say, you know, this is a trick that's been put on us every election season, right, that somebody says, don't like them because they're black, find out what they're going to do. But you know by default there are some things that we wash over just because we want to be critical. Don't do that because watching Fox News is not news, and stop using those as examples of the thing not working. There's too many things that are actually going good in this world than to actually start focusing on negative so much.
I want to say something. I'm not being critical. I'm saying we need to have balance in our discussion. I just want to say, I know you're not playing the finger at me. I understand that. But I do want to say the reason
Hold on. Let Mr. Elias, Dr. President, we're running over. We need to let Mr. Elias go ahead and respond to it. We need to close the set out. Go ahead and respond, and we'll close the set out. We'll pick it up on another show. Go ahead, Mr. Elias.
Well, I got to agree with Jerome, man. And we do need to be diligent and careful where we get our information from. Because, look, man, Fox News is not going to, it's not even news. I don't know why they even say it's news. So we need to be diligent and we need to be careful where we get our information from because they don't give a damn about us and they don't care about us. So, you know, let's just, and Dr. D is right. We do need another opposing view here with, what we're talking about, but the bottom line is, hell, man, if the truth is what it is, it's the truth. You can't beat it down.
Yeah, and just to close out the set, you know, when you think about everything that's going on, you know, the bottom line is that with anything, you know, every plan you put in place can't help everybody. That's just the reality of it. I mean, you know, so we can't, there's no way you're going to make a perfect plan where every single person is going to come out on top. I think that what we have to do is we have to be a little bit more diligent as far as getting our information. We need to know exactly what the situations are, and at that point, we can make the decisions that we need to make and form the opinions that we need to form. All right, folks, we're not done. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the president, two firms. I thought it was hilarious, but the GOP went ape doo-doo. You're listening to The Serious Side. Good Sunday morning to you. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go anywhere.
My best friend's sister, she had a lot of friends, just not enough time. So she got really good at texting while driving. I mean, she was amazing. But ever since the accident, everything has changed. She still has a lot of friends, but now she has no time. Texting while driving, it's dumb and it's deadly.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Tommy Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South, my little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio. Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Now I'm covered.
Now for the first time, you can be covered with a quality health plan from the new Health Insurance Marketplace, part of the healthcare law. It's where brand name companies offer plans you can compare side by side, and it's the place to get lower monthly payments.
I'm covered.
So if you have an accident, get sick, or just need a checkup,
I'm covered.
We're covered. Now we're covered.
Enroll now at the Health Insurance Marketplace at healthcare.gov.
I have to know, what is it like to be the last black president?
Seriously? What's it like for this to be the last time you ever talked to a president?
It must kind of stink, though, that you can't run, you know, three times.
No, actually, I think it's a good idea. You know, if I ran a third time, it'd be sort of like doing a third hangover movie. It didn't really work out very well, did it?
Welcome back in. At the top of the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rao Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our call number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. You can participate in the conversation. Let's say good morning one last time to our colleagues. Let's say good morning to the very lovely Dr. Princess Andi, the Queen of Inspiration. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I am doing very well. Good morning, everyone.
Say good morning to our colleague Callie Wood, sitting in this morning as well. Good morning, Callie Wood.
Good morning, Mr. J. Good morning, everyone.
Let's say also good morning to our the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit.
Good morning.
And of course, the man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Coming up at the top of the hour, it's on a need-to-know basis that comes up. My main man, Jerome Esprit, can't wait to hear what he has in store for us. So let's get to this last topic. You know, the president appeared on two firms, and the GOP has gone ballistic behind this. So my question is, let's start off with you, Jerome. Smart politics? Or do you think it's a situation where maybe the president maybe should not have shown up on this show?
I don't know what to say about this. Every president has done comedy shows, mostly, anyway. I mean, Nixon did Laughing, and Reagan did a comedy skit on Bob Hope show. Like, they do that. Like, what is so new about this besides the internet being here that wasn't there for other presidents? I mean, I don't get it. I think it's just having, you know, again, Fox News out there, which we didn't have out there before prior for any other president, to blow something up like it's never happened before. But it's very easy to look up. If you YouTube any president, you can go to Dwight Eisenhower that went to some Comedy Hour show. I mean, it just... You can see that stuff very easily. I don't understand what the big deal is that someone now makes that some kind of issue with the president. I mean, I don't know what you can say about it. He has a sense of humor. I don't know. It's like saying the first lady shouldn't go on Sesame Street. Like, I don't know what the big deal is.
Well, like, for example, you know, one of the things that I thought and I know it's a comedy skit, Mr. Elias, but I thought, when Zach Galifianakis, I think that's his name.
Galifianakis.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, Galifianakis, there it is. When he called the president a nerd, I was like, man, you know, it's like, look how far we've come. It's almost like when you're in front of the president of the United States as royalty, how can you use those types of terms toward the president? But then again, I had to remove myself. I said, okay, it's a comedy skit, but I don't know. That part, I was like, okay, you're pushing it. You don't call the president a nerd, you know, or respond to the president like Ryan Seacrest did on his show. Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, okay, I got you, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but it's almost like talking to your elders. I would never talk to my elders that way. How can you talk to the most powerful man in the world that way? Your thoughts, Mr. Elias.
Well, you know, it was just what it was. It was a comedy skit, and that's what it was, man. And should you not take it to be a comedy skit, or should you just, even if you're doing comedy, should you? Any comedian can tell you nothing's off limits when it comes to comedy, man. So, bottom line is, it was a comedy skit, and you could tell by the way he responded back when he said, "It's me being president three times is me like you doing three hangover movies. It just doesn't work." I mean, it was vernacular going back and forth, so that's why I can sit here and say it was comedy, and it was good for what it was good for. Why take it any farther than that?
What do you think, Callie? What are your thoughts?
I thought it was a great comedy bit. I took it for what it was, you know, and the whole purpose of it was for them to talk about the Affordable Care Act. So it got people talking, and I thought it was hilarious. I thought his timing just the whole thing, you know, was hilarious. So I took it for what it was. I didn't read any more into it than it was. We got out of it exactly what they wanted.
So basically we're all saying that because this is the age in which we live, you know, the bottom line is we live in the Internet age, this president has gone on, I mean, like the Tonight Show, he's done skits with Jimmy Fallon. You know, one of the things I thought was so funny when he, what is it called? They wanted to sing the news. What's that segment called?
Slow Jam.
Jimmy Fallon?
Slow Jam the News.
Yeah, Slow Jam the News. Yeah, and so it's like, you know, he's gone and done all these things, but... You know, the old school part of me, Dr. Princess Aldea, let me go to you, is saying, the Republicans, do they have a point when it comes to this? I mean, you know, this is the president of the United States. This is a guy that every decision he makes during the course of the day can affect someone's life. This is a guy where, you know, you have leaders all around the world looking at this guy. And so is it appropriate for the president... Is he overexposed when it comes to these types of things? I guess that's my question for you.
Absolutely not. And I was going to say, because I'm happy. And you know what? That's out the box. He's out the box. Okay? He's the one who he has connected with the people. He's not traditional. Yet, he is also the most productive president that the United States has ever seen. So... We have to look at it for what it is. He has already proven it's his second term, darn near over, and he's still consistent with who he is. And that is, he is not for the tradition. He's not a traditional president. He's not claiming to be. He has remained true to himself, and he has remained true to the people. So... Should we be alarmed or no? I mean, we need to step out of the box, take off our collars, okay? Stop being so stiff for those who may have a problem with it, and get with the program of life. It's time to live. And it doesn't help us all if our leader is a stuffy, stuffed-shirt president who, you know, I mean, he may be getting, I don't even know if he will be getting things done like he is now. I mean, I believe the energy that he has influences his productivity to the capacity where in which we can say he is, and it's on record, and Jerome Esprit has given us the website where people can go and look at all of the accomplishments that our president has had. Do your homework. I mean, it was great. Let's enjoy. Let's live in the moment, enjoy. And I'm sure as he did his little comedy, he went on and saved and did some major things for the country as well. It hasn't stopped him at all, nor has it as impeded his progress, his productivity during his entire tenure. So, hey, it was wonderful. I love it.
Drew, let me ask you a question. Now, I know that, you know, you're definitely deep within politics. If you were advising a candidate, would you, or a president, or, you know, a legislator, whatever the case may be, would you advise them to do things like that, especially if they're trying to reach the young people, or what would be your political strategy and advice in a situation like that?
You do strategy based upon someone's strengths or weaknesses. I would never ask Mitt Romney, for example, to do something like that, or John McCain. Right? It depends on where you are. He's comfortable in those. Environment in that situation, you have to be kind of quick-witted, right? And so depending on who you are as a person, and I think that's probably why the Republicans raise such a fuss about this kind of thing, because they can't match that energy, right? And if you just kind of look at the numbers between people who are, you know, 55 and under, they're voting overwhelmingly Democrat, you know, for the president. And so your audience isn't them, so you need to degrade that as a weapon being used against you when it comes to the next political race. Now, just to give you a little bit more detail on that particular appearance, do you know that after he did that, they had more links or clicks onto the federal website for the week just from that appearance than they had from anywhere else, from people going to the affordablehealthcare.gov and all that. they had more that came off that YouTube channel than anywhere else in the country. Through the state exchanges, through the federal exchanges, they had more young people go to the federal website from that YouTube channel. It was successful. So it depends, whatever your goal is, it worked. So we as adults are sitting here criticizing that, but they were trying to get young people to go take a look at getting health insurance. We can get mad about the jokes all we want to, but what was the goal, and did it work? It didn't degrade the office of the president that he can do that. It just says that his personality allows him to do that. You know, I guess, I don't know if people were complaining about President Clinton going on Arsenio or you know, I'm not sure, but all I'm saying is that it's interesting that for him, he can be criticized for anything. Having a dog in the White House, like everything that he does, somehow people have some kind of moral, not even a moral objection, they just have an objection because of who it is.
You're right about that, and I guess the thing is that when you look at, you know, you said about Mitt Romney, not having Mitt Romney in that situation, it really depends on their personality, huh, Mr. Elias? We may have lost Mr. Elias, but let me go to you, Dr.
Yeah,
Personal D. It really depends on their personality. I mean, if the president is a very charismatic person, he's a very popular guy, a lot of young, he can relate to a lot of young people. That's one of the reasons why he was able to win that vote, because that a lot of the young people came out and voted for him. So if you have a president that's very popular, a president that can do these types of things, why not put him out there and let him, you know, use his swag to get his message across?
I say yes, 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 absolutely, absolutely. And I always say that he is very, very strategic. He is a strategic master. He is. And so he had a point. He made his point, I'm sure. It was successful, and it definitely built the awareness amongst the youth. Usually politics don't interest the youth. They're not interested. With this president, you have a lot of youth that are involved.
You're right.
Involved more in the discussion. So, yeah, absolutely.
347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Sirius Side of the J. Rao Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. We're talking about the president appearing on Two Ferns. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious. Like I said, there were parts of it where I felt a little uncomfortable, but for the most part, I can understand what he's trying to do. It's similar to what people say, if you're trying to bring people to the church, you go to where the sinners are. So I guess if you are in a situation where you're trying to get, you know, drum up support for the health care bill or for the marketplace, healthcare.org or .gov, I should say, you should get people out there. Now, Jerome, let me ask you this. Now, people have until the end of the month to sign up for this thing, right? What happens if they miss that deadline?
You have to wait for the next open enrollment period. This is how regular insurance works anyway. You have an enrollment period and then an open enrollment, and then if you miss that, you have to wait a whole year, because that's a part of what keeps the rates down as well. And even if they close it right now, and just remember, in the last month, in the last 3 weeks, I think the numbers are very good, by the way, for an overall response to the health, for enrollment in healthcare. So it's successful right now. They just want to get the numbers down, for the actuarial numbers down, which means they want more young people in the pool. But the numbers are actually pretty good. So, but if you miss out, you'll just have to wait for the next open enrollment period, which will be next year. You have to wait a year.
So what is this thing that people talk about that is mandatory health care? You have to have it. If you're not covered, then you're going to have to pay a fine. Let's talk about those things that are out there swirling out there, because they're saying if you don't have health care, then you're going to be fined. It's mandatory for each and every last American to have health care.
Okay, now let me think of where to begin on this. There is no fine per se for health care, right?
Okay.
There is a tax penalty that's assessed if you make over $80,000 and you take your butt to their emergency room and you get free health care, you are going to be assessed a penalty on your taxes. There is no enforcement. There will be no liens against your houses. There will be no credit blip on there. There's no enforcement on the IRS side. The president intentionally took it out of the legislation. So you're not going to see a note in your mailbox saying you didn't pay your affordable health care. You're not going to get a bill as individuals. Now, for companies, they are going to take a tax hit if they're reporting all of these full-time employees and they didn't provide it. So you can get a tax hit if you're over $80,000 and you take yourself to a government facility or any hospital, because how they pay for it now is that if you go to an emergency room, the charges aren't for free. You know, medical coverage isn't free. So if you go to an emergency room and they treat you, they actually bill the federal government. They still get money. So if your Social Security number is pinged from you getting free health care, then you're going to be assessed a tax penalty, which means that if you get a tax refund, they're probably going to take the money out. But you're not going to receive any kind of lien or anything on your – it's not like a penalty like that. And, again, just thank the Democrats for this, because the Republicans put that in there, by the way. The Democrats did not want it. The Republicans put it in there. So the president, on their side, took out all of the penalty enforcement stuff in affordable health care.
Okay, so there's no penalty for the individuals, so it's a situation just like if you had a job, you know, if you missed the open enrollment period, then when it comes back around in January, then you can, you know, go ahead and be a part of it. Okay, I mean, just wanted to get some understanding as far as how it works.
And let me say this, too. You're not registering with government health care, so the government doesn't know if you have health insurance or not. What you're enrolling in, you're using the private exchanges to find a private health company. So we keep talking about those like they're the same. The health exchanges, the websites, and the state exchanges are not health care. It is just a means to show you what private companies offer health care. You don't have to go through the exchanges.
That's an excellent point. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, Kelly Wood, you talked about how, you know, you're taking advantage of this, and I guess my question is, can you shed some light on that? I mean, if people are in a situation where they have pre-existing conditions and things of that nature, how difficult was it or is it for people in that situation to get health care?
Well, speaking from a person with considerable amount of pre-existing health issues, I did my due diligence when the affordable health care was being brought to everyone's attention, and I researched to make sure I found a doctor, to make sure the doctor that I was going to accept this insurance, and they did. So it's also doing your due diligence. If you just, they go to Aetna or this one, and you don't find out, do they cover acupuncture, do they cover massages, or do they cover pre-existing ailments? You have to just do your due diligence. But I have had no issues. But I took care of my business 6 months before. You know, everybody's rushing to take this thing. You got to, you know, as soon as, you know, it was before the transfer, before the final date, everybody waits the last minute. I took care of my stuff before it came to issue. I mean, it was a lot of reasons. I mean, because I got books from Blue Cross through everybody. It was a lot of reasons.
Uh-huh.
But once I did that, I found the one that worked for me.
So when you went through that whole process, now you did it in the very beginning. Was it hard for me? Was it hard to do?
I made a phone call because I didn't do the internet. Because even with having a blog talk show and internet show, I don't do stuff that's that delicate. I don't do it on the internet. My credit card isn't in on the internet. I do everything so I can hear the person. So I know that, you know, there's no miscommunication. So I just got on the phone. I think I was on hold maybe 15 minutes.
Okay.
And just walked through it with the lady on the phone.
So it was that simple?
Maybe an hour. It was that simple.
It took an hour and a half because it was like, well, this doctor, I had the doctor's, ID number, and I had the code for what my ailments were, because when you go to a doctor, you know, when they treat you, there's, you know, certain codes and things. So I know the codes because I've been dealing with the nerve image damage in the back and all this stuff. So I know those procedure codes. So I was able to this insurance company take this procedure code because this is what is done to me at my doctor's office now.
Right.
No, it's not, but if they do this code, you know, so it's, you know, it was technical, a little technical, but it was, you know, it was worth it. You know, it was worth it.
Well, yeah, that's good to hear. And the reason why I'm just asking, and trust me, if we're being too personal, stop me. I just thought it'd be good for people to hear, you know, how you went through the process, how it seems to be fairly flawless during your encounters or during your experience, and the fact that it was that easy to sign up. And I think that, you know, Mr. Elias, that's one of the things that we run into is that it's the fear factor. If you want people to run away from something, you have to create this imaginary boogie monster. Oh, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. You know, one of the reasons why I think we're still having issues with guns, with gun control, is because the Republicans, oh, my God, when you register your stuff, the government's going to be looking at everything that you do. So you put the fear factor out there. People don't want to participate because they're scared of something. And we've been talking about the Health Care Act for most of the morning. And, you know, we talk about people not supporting the Health Care Act. It's not the fact that they're not supporting the Health Care Act, Mr. Elias. It's the fact they're not supporting this president. Because when they polled different facets of the Health Care Act with people that are out there, with Americans, it polled well. All they did was took off the name Obamacare. And when they presented it in a different way, people, oh, we love that. We just don't like Obamacare. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, that would be correct, Jay. I mean, bottom line is, you know, I watched that program, too, when they said that they couldn't stand Obamacare, but the Affordable Health Care Act was what we needed. And I thought to myself, why would you even say something like that? This is ridiculous to me. This whole setup is ridiculous to me. We know what it is. Everybody knows what it is, and we might not want to call it what it is, but we know what it is. And bottom line is they don't like this president because of his race, man. The bottom line is that. And secondly, you know, if he's trying to do something to help you, why are you trying to hinder it? Why not try and see what's going to happen with it? And then if it doesn't work, then you get them. But if it does work, then you look like you got egg on your face. So,
well, I don't think that matters to them. I don't think that matters to them at all. Rich Sister wants to make some comments about this. Rich Sister, your thoughts?
I'm just making sure we're still just talking about President Obama and the Affordable Care Act. We're still talking on that realm.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about that. I mean, you know, it kind of, you know, the bottom line is when we got to the conversation, you know, we were really looking at this whole thing with the two ferns, how the Republicans were going crazy, Rush Limbaugh, you know, talking, you know, Bill O'Reilly was making comments. And I love what the creators of Funny or Die, their response, and I'm paraphrasing here, they said, really, you know, this is a comedy skit. The bottom line, the difference between us and Fox News is that we admit that we're a comedy show. Fox News should follow suit. And I thought that was pretty cute how they said that. But go ahead, your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, one thing after another. It's like, what's next? Like I said, we all know that this is just everything that the other side does is to attack his presidency as a whole. You know, that's all it is. What's next? Terms that with this president, we ain't never heard debt ceiling and government shutdown and fiscal cliff. We didn't know what them terms were before this president came along. So, you know, it's just one thing after another trying to just bring an attack towards him. It's like, what's next? Just what's next? I ain't surprised no more. Just what's next now?
You know, Jerome, the thing that really gets me is that when you think about all the major social accomplishments in this country, liberals have been at the forefront. Republicans have always tried to stop things. You can go back to slavery. When you say Republicans, conservatives, you can go back to slavery. You can go back to, you know, Medicare. When you look at some of the biggest historical legislation, you know, conservatives have always been like, you know, we don't want to do this, but liberals have always been the ones who've led the way.
and they've thrown a monkey wrench in them, right? So even if you talk about, you know, we don't have food stamps anymore, by the way. It's been gone since Clinton. But if you take the supplemental, the SNAP program, just feeding people, all of those restrictions are on there, are put on there by Republicans, right? I'll say Republicans now because we're not talking about Abraham Lincoln's Republicans. So all of those restrictions
right.
are on there. And let me go on the record, because since you asked me this question, I feel obligated that if somebody's listening to this in rewind, they need to have something to hang their hat on. When I say that there's no affordable care mandate, it is page 131 of the legislation, Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Chapter 48. Maintenance of minimum essential coverage, A, waiver of criminal penalties in the case of failure by a taxpayer to timely pay any penalty imposed by the section, such taxpayer shall not be subject to any criminal prosecution or penalty with respect to such failures. B, limitations on liens and levies. The secretary shall not, A, file notice of lien with respect to any property of taxpayer by reason of any failure to pay penalty imposed by the section, or levy on any such property with respect to such failure. There is no enforcement in the law that says that they're going to collect a doggone dime for you, and it was put there on purpose intentionally because the Republicans put they put that in the law to scare people that there's going to be a penalty. They put it in there as a compromise, and then they say, hey, there's a penalty in there, but they took all the enforcement out. So I just wanted to say that for the record in case you wanted to look it up. Title 26, Chapter 48, Affordable Health Care, page 131.
Good call. Yeah. You know, and like you said, scare tactics. You know, it is as old as the day is long. People are always trying to scare you into certain things. And that's what this is all about, and it always has been. And, you know, and it concerns me because it seems to me that we all should be working for the greater good for this nation. And it just seems that, you know, people are so buried into politics that they're willing, things that they supported, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, they are against Dr. Princess Odeya. And it just, it's amazing to me. You know, we talk about living in the greatest country in the world, but yet, see, you have all this nonsense that goes on. How can people in their right mind do not want to help others, especially if they find themselves in a bad situation? I just don't get it. I'll never understand it. Your thoughts?
I don't even know if it's so much of a conscious effort as much as it is. We are all, as a people, and I'll say we, although some of us are mature in some place, some ways more than others, I will say that as a people, we have been accustomed to just following the rules. We're told what to do. We're told how it is. We follow it. We say yes, sir, and that's just the way it is. And when it's the system, if it's the government or something comes from the government, we just say yes. Now, what we are not used to is someone doing something outside the box. And when they decide to go against the grain, not as if it is in a fighting mode, but they just choose to do things in a different way and they're not following the system, then we buckle against it. We are accustomed to something happening and it just happens with the microwave effect. We like the drama. If it doesn't happen quick enough, we don't want it. If it comes with some with a little effort and push that may cause a little struggle, we're saying that it's wrong and it's something that we shouldn't deal with. So when President Barack Obama came in and he initiated this, it was against the grain, first of all. There were some glitches. Yeah, there were. But they were glitches that, you know, in a normal corporate structure, very common. Not a big, you know, it was rough. It was rough, but it's okay. Some of the things that he has implemented, we've had to go through a journey to see the results, and we will continue this journey until the fruition of the results that he has visioned for us come to pass. Because it's the stuff that he's done, it's not just going to... We're not going to see all of the benefits right now or by the end of his term. And I believe he even said that. He even said that in his speech when he was inaugurated. He said you may not see it all through my term, but he has laid the foundation for change. Change hurts, and we're not used to it. So
you know, she said something that was very interesting, Jerome, and I always think about this, is how a lot of the things that the president's putting in place, you know, another president's going to get the credit for it. I mean, if it happens during the next administration's term, they're going to get credit for it. I mean, isn't that the way it always works?
No doubt. And, you know, here's the thing. I always think that because there's so much stuff that's put in place that it won't come to fruition for a few. Like the funding, you know, we had the sequester go on. That wasn't the president's
right.
sequester. But the sequester went on, and they allocated over $1 billion to the Healthy Kid program, the food program, which is going to serve breakfast, lunch, and sometimes dinner in poor areas
right.
across this country.
Mm-hmm.
When he leaves, they're going to fund that because they're just going to approve the regular federal budget like normal, and all of that money is going to be there, and you're going to see all these things happening in your community. You're going to go, how come Obama didn't do this? Like, it's interesting to me, but that's kind of why our task as being in media and being in news is our job to actually do that, right? I can't compete with the Fox Newses of the world and don't really care to. But the problem is that we need to be responsible in the information that we put out because of that. But it will look like all of these great things were done outside of President Obama, where I can probably name at least 30 or 40 things that he's done that's going to live way beyond his presidency.
Yeah, and that's always something that you think about. The fact that, you know, bottom line is that this guy put these things in place, Mr. Elias, but, you know, somebody else may get credit for it. I mean, that's just par for the course. And I think maybe there's a situation where he's taking advantage of something that a president's done in the past, but it's just, you know, it takes too long for these agendas to get out there. So to sit here and think that, you know, the bottom line is that the president's going to get credit for these things, I think it's wishful thinking.
Well, you know, a lot of people are not going to get like Jerome said, he's not going to get credit for it. But, hey, in the long run, history will tell. I believe history will say what he did, you know, and it will be historical for what he did. So,
I agree
well,
with that.
We'll,
history will
we'll
tell
see about that because,
thing,
because George Bush's approval rating is up at 50%. Who thought that, right? Yes, Callie Wood.
Well, that's part of the skit he did at the end when they dropped the curtain, and he's been filming this the whole time, and he said, who approved this? He said, Bush. You know what I'm saying? So that was just also part of showing that how long it takes for people, stuff to trickle down through the White House,
mm-hmm.
stuff that was put in place, so even though he made a joke about it, but he addressed
yeah.
it. If y'all didn't catch it, he addressed it at the very end. Like, look, Bush put this in place. I've been here this long. So it was like a little dig. You see it at the end. I put some stuff in place, but you won't see it until later on. He got that dig at the end. I feel he got that dig at the end with that little part. That's how I thought he got a dig in the end.
That's interesting that you brought that out. It's pretty cool. Now, I mentioned earlier about how liberals seems to always win the day. And let me play a clip from something that Chris Matthews said that I thought was very interesting. And then we'll come back and close this set out.
Good evening, I'm Chris Matthews in Washington. Let me start tonight with this. Have you noticed that the liberals usually win the argument eventually? It's been true from the beginning of our country. Back in the 18th century, the Tories opposed independence. Thanks to Thomas Paine, an immigrant, the once radical case for separation from England emerged to win the day. The case for abolition of slavery was so fiery it led to war as well as argument, but with it all came emancipation. Women wanted the right to vote and won it. Jim Crow lost its fight with Dr. King, and civil rights became law. Gays were once shunted aside. Today, they're winning the battle for full acceptance and even marriage equality. Well, the same is true of the social safety net. Conservatives fought Social Security. Ronald Reagan championed the fight against Medicare. The Republicans voted as a bloc against affordable care, and in each case, the liberals won. Eventually, even as the struggle heads to another test this November, with the GOP rear guard sniping away at health care, promising to chop away at the social safety net that the progressives have built in this country. And every voter obviously has a stake.
I thought that was interesting, and I thought that was I love the way he brought that. I definitely wanted our audience to hear that. So now let's get everyone's final thoughts on this particular topic. Let me start with you first, Dr. Princess O'Dea. Give me your final thoughts.
I am going to say that It is important for us to embrace change, and it's also important for us to study to show ourselves approved on all subjects, especially as it pertains to our health care reform. Study to show yourself approved. Get assistance. Callie Wood spoke about the different codes that she was able to reference with regards to certain elements that she had. That is also a very, very important aspect of you applying for your health care. It's
right.
important to study to show yourself approved. So that's what I'm going to say on this topic.
Good stuff. Rich Sister, give me your final comments on this particular set.
I kind of echo Dr. Prince's, I mean, really get informed, get involved. There's opportunities for everyone. I think this is just Affordable Care Act, for me, is a blessing. So, you know, just really get informed, get involved, and just think about what you have to do. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye to all of you now. So take care.
All
y'all
right.
Have a great rest of the show, okay?
All right, take care. Thank you so much. Jerome, give me your final thoughts on this particular topic, my friend.
Well, I just want to say that since you played the Chris Matthews clip, I want to also say it is how you frame a conversation, and media is normally conservative, so that's why you don't really see things from the from that historic side of what people have backed one way or another. The Democrats have also kind of walked away from some things because they said we just can't win, and now that you can win, you're seeing it, the message being hijacked. So when it comes to affordable health care, you know, it's the Affordable Health Care Act was named Obamacare just to get people to make it negative for the people who don't like them. But for the people who like it, Obamacare will go down in history as the greatest thing since sliced bread. And so I think the president counts on that. That's why he likes it now, by the way.
Absolutely. He loves the fact that we're calling it Obamacare. He said, hey, I kind of like that. The man who gets the first and last word, Mr. Elias, man, your final thoughts on this particular topic, my friend.
Well, folks, there's a new thing out. It's a new invention called the Internet. You can Google and research anything besides you want to. It's called it besides Facebook. You can get on the Internet and find out any information you want to. So I implore anybody, if you really want to know something, get on the Internet. And make sure you go to a responsible site, not just one site. Go to a responsible site and find out all the information you need. That way, you won't have any misnomers, no miscommunications, no messy way of going about it. So, I implore anybody to go on the internet and find out what you need to find out.
Absolutely. Make sure you check different resources. All right, folks, listen, we're not done yet, but conversations are over, but we still have a little bit other things to talk about. Coming up next, before we go, a quick look at some stories made headlines this past week, plus on the need-to-know basis with Jerome Esprit. All that's coming up next, plus Chatterbox. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
The National Travel Weather Outlook is brought to you by AccuWeather's MinuteCast, your minute-by-minute weather forecast. It was another fairly quiet day across much of the western U.S. More rain moving into Seattle through Portland, so you'll need the umbrellas. Could be a bit of a slippery drive down I-5, but the rest of the region looking very nice. Meanwhile, high pressure is still parked off the coast of Southern California. That means an offshore flow of very warm air, especially for the Los Angeles Basin. Be a scorcher out there. Meanwhile, a bit cooler here in the upper Midwest, 23 in Minneapolis, and some light snow will move across the plains into the nation's heartland, especially as we get into tonight. Some strong thunderstorms left over from Houston into New Orleans this morning. Steady rain from Dallas into Nashville. Some minor delays as we head through this afternoon, but that moisture shifts to the east as we head to this afternoon. Strong thunderstorms possible today in Atlanta. Big threat going to be strong winds and some small hail. Could be some major delays at the airports there. Be sure to check ahead before you check in. Windy today across the Ohio Valley. Snow moves in here later on tonight. It'll accumulate a couple of inches, but it looks like we'll see the biggest problems in the nation's capital with rain changing to snow. Get your minute cast from AccuWeather.com today and know when you can expect rain or snow for your exact street address.
Call me,
that really turns me on and on.
Jennifer Hudson, and I changed my life on Weight Watchers. I had many times of saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to lose weight, or you know what, I'm sick of being this weight or that weight. But I tried different plans or different, you know, diets, but nothing really worked.
Are you ready to be America's next billionaire? At Quicken Loans, we'd like to make that happen. All you have to do is pick a perfect bracket in the 2014 Men's College Basketball Tournament, and we'll give you $1 billion. That's billion with a B.
All right, folks, it's time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. And it's been put out there, Mr. Elias, that Jennifer Hudson and Weight Watchers are parting ways. Do you think she's going to start gaining weight now? Your thoughts?
Nah, man. I think she's gotten her stuff together. She's a beautiful woman, and, hey, man, she'll keep going with what she's going with. She's learned how to eat correctly.
She's kept the weight off for years, man. She's definitely
because she was with Weight Watchers. So do you think that that'll go away since Weight Watchers is no longer a part of her camp?
No, I think she'll continue on what she's continuing. I do.
Okay, all right. What about you, Dr. Princess O'D? What do you think?
Of course, I think that she... Okay, I think she's going to keep it off because I think she's gone through a transformation. Not just... I don't think she's just been going along with the Weight Watchers plan. I think she's gone through a personal transformation. I think she'll keep it off.
Okay, all right. Jerome, you ready to win that $1 billion? Since your NFL picks were so great this past summer, I think maybe you could jump in this challenge and win $1 billion. What do you think?
Well, you know, a part of my policy of not giving up too much information, I think I got to sign up with too much personal information to get $1 billion, so I'm going to pass on $1 billion. I'm not signing up for freaking loans just to get $1 billion.
Now, this thing with, you know, that's, what if someone wins that, Mr. Elias?
I hope it's me, hell.
Hey, we should meet someone. I know, I'm with you. I was trying to throw that off you, Elliot.
And on that note, all right, folks, it is time for Chatterbox. And these are final comments or comments we found out there either in our chat room or out there in social media. We have a few for you this morning. Let me start off reading one from a young lady by the name of Deborah Brown Brooks. This was in regards to the Darren Sharper part of our show. She says, look, number one, is because he is mentally unstable. And the question was, why would someone of his status do these things? So here's her response. Because he is mentally unstable. Two, he believes his status gives him the rights over others who are entitled, who are not entitled to. Three, his inadequacies as far as low esteem, you know, can't get down because he can't get up. Number five, which she probably meant four, then there is always the stereotype diagnosis. His mother is the reason. Thank you so much, Ms. Brown Brooks. Mr. Elias, who do you have?
I got Easy Rider when we were talking about the same subject. He said a man of his stature and money and notoriety could get a lot of women just off of reputation alone. For him to slip a drug into a woman's drink to have sex with her is just plain insanity and should be dealt with severely.
Wow, I have one from St. Clinton. He says, look, I want to know what exactly the GOP plans are to replace the Affordable Care Act. You know what? Hey, listen, you're not in the minority on that one, St. Clinton. And who else do you have, Mr. Elias?
I got Easy Rider. Not Easy, but
Covina.
Covina, man. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking for it. I just lost it. Wow. He said, the success or failure of Obamacare should not be placed on the rate of 20-something signing up.
That's interesting. Unfortunately, convenient man, it is. So, you know, it is what it is. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a short break. And it's on a need-to-know basis. I've been waiting for this with our main man, Jerome Esprit. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go nowhere, folks.
Sir, have you seen this girl?
Hello, friends. I'm Jay, the host of The Jay Rouse Show and the serious side of The Jay Rouse Show. And it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me? Where we put the spotlight on missing children of color. Tonight, we're heading to Dallas, Texas. A pregnant mother is missing after a disturbing phone call. Delisa Kelly, age 24, was last seen Friday night, March 7th. 2014, leaving her grandmother's house in Dallas, Texas near the Oak Cliff area in the 2700 block of Prosperity Boulevard near Sunnyvale Street and Overton Road. She was walking to a wake for a best friend who had recently been killed in a car accident, but she never made it. A neighbor told the family that they saw Kelly walking down the street while talking on the phone with someone, and she appeared to be arguing. A short time later, Kelly's sister received what appeared to be an unintentional phone call from Kelly. Could be heard screaming in the background, telling someone to stop, stop, get off me, stop, and the unknown male in the background saying, shut up, stop screaming, you don't listen. Shortly after the call, she received a text from Kelly's phone reading, I'm going to call you in a minute. Since then, nobody has been able to get a hold of Kelly. Kelly is a mother of a young child and is also 2 months pregnant. Family members say Kelly was living with a boyfriend, the father of an unborn child.
He did stop by the family's home and has also posted on social media asking people if they knew who she was. Kelly is a black woman. She's 5'6", 120 pounds, with brown eyes and long brown hair that she was wearing in a bun. She was last seen wearing a black long-sleeve sweater, leopard print tights, and a denim vest. Anyone with information, please call 911 or the Dallas Police Department at 214-671-4268. Once again, that number is 214-671-4268. We pray for the safe return of this young lady, and we ask that you keep her family in your prayers. If you'd like to see someone featured on Have You Seen Me, all you have to do is pick up the phone right now and call 347-850-1272 if you're listening to a live broadcast, and leave the information there. Or you can go to our Facebook page, the TGRS Radio Network, post the information there for all to see. Or you can contact me direct on Facebook at J-A-Y-R-I-L, that's Jay Ryle. Or you can send an email to the show, to the jryleshowandlive.com, that's the J-R-I-L show and live.com. We pray for all people missing regardless of color. And until next time, you've been listening to Have You Seen Me, where we focus our attention on missing people of color. I'm Jay. Take care.
Somewhere in America, a mother is crying.
A family is torn.
A child is lost,
missing, or even abducted.
We need your help.
Contact your local police station for a listing of missing children in your area,
or log on to www.missingkids.com
to obtain further information regarding missing children in your local community.
Was the next face you see?
Maybe a child that will need your help.
Help support America's missing!
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The White House petition website has been bombarded by a series of secession requests.
The White House says the scandal involving former CIA Director David Petraeus and General John Allen was a surprise to the president.
All right, folks, it is the top of the hour, or a little after the top of the hour, but you know what time it is. It is time for On a Need-to-Know Basis with my main man, Jerome Esprit. I've been missing this, Jerome, man. What do you have?
All right, well, the U.S. retail sales rose for the first time in 2 months in February, according to official figures, and the figures suggest that the world's largest economy is gaining strength after suffering the third coldest winter on record. I didn't know it's been that cold. I know it's been cold, but it's the third coldest on record.
It is cold.
Now, President Barack Obama newly announced a budget that includes $173 million to reform the criminal justice system and $745 million investment in federal courthouses and aligned buildings. So, you know, with that, Attorney General Eric Holder announced that Smart on Crime plan that, amongst other things, encouraged diversion programs and other alternatives to prison for nonviolent drug offenders. So it kind of goes hand in hand, but that's what's being proposed. You're saying the president is doing nothing outside of, you know, comedy programs. Now, the first lady is planning a week-long visit to China this month. That includes a meeting with China's first lady and some high school and university students. It'll be her first time in China, and she said it's important because it's the most populous country in the world. They have 1.3 billion people, and they play a role on the world stage, so First Lady will be there. Now, while she's there, they announced that the Great Tunnel of China, you know, the Great Wall, they plan a 77-mile underground tunnel, which is going to be the world's longest tunnel.
Wow.
Now, travelers have an 8-hour ferry ride on this 900-mile road trip, but this $32 billion project will actually connect under a river, 77-mile tunnel. I don't like tunnels personally, but that's a bit much. Now, I don't remember if I did this story before, but a warehouse worker in Iowa, 27, was fired for using a forklift on a vending machine after his Twix got stuck. Like, I don't know why that was funny to me, but you're going to shake a vending machine for a Twix. I mean, they good. It's two of them. Anyway, all right. So
he said there's two of them.
There's two of them. You can break them in half, save up for later. All right. So in court, now in New York's highest court, must explain whether incest laws require a deportation of a Vietnamese woman who married her half uncle. So they're in court deciding this. Now, is it criminal to have incest? I don't know if you can go to jail for that, but they're debating whether they should deport somebody for that. And I'm in court.
Crazy. Crazy.
A Colorado judge joked about the bodies of women in court, in his courtroom. He's resigned after a public censure by the state's highest court. So you can get rid of a judge if you complain about him, by the way. Just wanted to share that. Singer Akon has launched an ambitious endeavor that aims to improve the lives of a million African people in Africa. So he has Akon Lighting Africa that hopes to bring electricity to 1 million households by the end of this year to help promote energy sustainability and efficiency throughout the continent. I think that's an ambitious plan. We don't hear anything about Akon until it's negative, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's good for you to point that out.
Well, you got to do it. Now, since we've missed this opportunity to say the award-winning 12 Years a Slave, the best picture, Steve McQueen's story about the portrayal of American slavery has now been promoted by the National School Boards Association. They have embraced it. That's according to Time Magazine. And the organization is recommending that the Oscar award-winning film be added to U.S. curriculum. Now,
wow.
Distribution of the movie to the schools have been funded by talk show host Montel Williams, who played an instrumental role in the Civil War film Glory being showed in schools. So if you don't know about Montel Williams.
Yeah. Wow. Thought he was broke. Okay. Wow.
See, and again, it's just because we live through rumor, and so once we get something out there, we think that that's it. But for him to put Glory in the schools and now 12 Years a Slave, that happened just before they got the Oscar, too.
You know, I saw that movie on the plane, and I tell you what, we're going to have to talk about that one. Matter of fact, that should be one of the topics for next week's show. I mean, that was – maybe we will talk about that. I think we should.
They didn't show it on the plane, did they? You watched it on the laptop?
No, I watched it on the plane. It was on the plane.
Oh, that was risky.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It was.
That's just funny. All right. So frequent experiences of racism are associated with a higher risk of obesity amongst African-American women, according to a new study. It found that women who were more frequently victimized for their race are more likely to be obese. Now, the study was done by the Sloan Center in Boston University, and it found the relationship between racism and obesity was strong amongst women who reported consistently high experience of racism over a 12-year period. They followed these women since 1995, 59,000 women, African-Americans. And they found out that, yes, having a lot of stress will cause you to gain more weight. And and also with another study, I want to say this because this is important since we did 12 Years of Slave and obesity. Another study found that a sample of mostly white American children think that black children feel less pain than white children. And that's from the University of Virginia, found that children as young as 7 hold that belief. Yes, that was the biggest part of racism that exists. It was like, oh, that's not really hurting them, and they're enjoying this punishment. And the British Journal of Development and Psychology builds on their previous works on the bias amongst adults involving pain perception. So when shown pictures of black children, 7 to 10-year-olds tend to rate the pain of being less severe when they're shown pictures of white children.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow.
All right, now, what? Yeah, I know, that is a lot to swallow, but it does say something about how we pass racism from generation to generation. You think that they're above and beyond pain when you see Rodney King and all that. Oh, anyway, all right, so California drivers, they can't talk or text while driving, but they can glance at their cell phone maps. It's perfectly legal, is what the State Court of Appeals have ruled. You can look at your phone, but you can't text or talk.
What's the difference?
Because when people say, you know, when a policeman say, I saw you look at your phone, that you can look at your phone. It's kind of like glancing through your side view, or, you know, you probably should not be distracted. You shouldn't be reading, but you can't glance at a phone while you're driving.
Well, I guess because some, you know, most phones have GPS, and so maybe if you're using a GPS on your phone, you should have the ability to look down. I guess I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, the ruling was clear that just because you have a phone device in there, they can't say that you get a ticket for looking at something.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, Ricky C. Goodrich, the former financial officer for Pearl's Jam Management Company, has been sentenced to 14 months in prison after he embezzled more than $30,000 from the band over 3 years. Now, this is pretty much the first case of ripping off a band that I've ever heard, but finally, somebody's going to jail for making people broke. That is crazy.
$30,000, that's all?
Well, he stole $300,000 over 3 years.
Oh, $300. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. That's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Oh, yeah. You could have lived with, what, just 30?
Yeah, I thought you said 30. Right. I'm like, really? Yeah, well, you know,
hey,
but if it's 300,000, that changes the price of poker. I'm with you on that one. Okay.
Exactly. And by the way, Arsenio Hall also has been renewed for a second season for those who were wondering how the ratings were going to. Did you just say really? Elias?
That was me, Elias.
Hey, you got to talk about Jay, man.
Oh, okay,
that's Mr. Elias
man.
Said
right.
That. That wasn't me. That's Mr. Elias.
Oh, that was.
All right. So for those people who go out to eat during their birthday, in Atlanta, a month before this guy, Joe Nelson's 38th birthday, he signed up for a dozen birthday clubs at restaurants. Then when his day arrived, he spent 24-hour period with three-hour breaks collecting more than 105 freebies around Atlanta. He drove 177 miles and spent $46 in gas and roughly $22 in tips and collected $578 in food and non-food items for his birthday.
That sounds like Momo B. Okay. All right. Okay. That's what she does.
That was just a work. I just wanted to say that. Okay, now we all heard the story about the girl who sued her parents for child support, which moved out of the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now in that story, the update to that story was that she has moved back in with her parents, but the lawsuit has not been dropped yet. But she was literally suing them, and she claimed that her father kissed her on her cheek inappropriately when he would kiss her on her cheek. She need a beat down.
Yeah. Is she white? Is it a white little white girl? Okay.
Yes, she
that
is.
Answers the question. Okay.
But yeah, right. She was using anything that she could against him, and that was one of them. So she needs to pick down. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this really quickly, that the Cosmos program that's on, I want to say it's on Fox, but astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. Have you ever seen that?
No, never saw it.
Okay, so it's new. It's estimated to be, you know, it's a 13-part series, Cosmos, a Space-Time Odyssey. It's on Sunday nights. President Obama introduced the debut show in a tape video message, and it is shown internationally on 220 channels in 181 countries and is expected to have over 40 million viewers regularly worldwide. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Never heard
it
of
is
that.
An amazing show. It really is. And so if you are lacking in the sciences, and if you're Republican, you might want to watch this show. Because it really does go into, you know, the universe and how big it is and how small we are in comparison.
Wow. You have one more for me, Jerome?
Yes. All right. Now, North Florida mayor is in jail on drug charges after he resigned from office. Hampton Mayor Barry Lamour was suspended in November after he, you know, sold oxycodone.
But
just weeks after he was elected. So it's a city of only 500 residents. But he said, this is his defense, I ride a bicycle to town. I have my lights cut off twice a year. If I'm a dope dealer, why are my lights getting cut off?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I think he's a bad drug dealer.
He is a very bad drug dealer in a bad neighborhood. Oh, my God. All right, folks, time for an update, and then we'll be back with our final thoughts. Don't go nowhere.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. As residents of Crimea vote on whether to secede from Ukraine, European Union officials are working on steps to intensify sanctions against Russia. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson reports from Berlin that the new measures could take effect as soon as tomorrow.
EU diplomats are drawing up a wide-reaching list of Russian and pro-Moscow officials from Ukraine who've been pushing for Crimea's breakaway. Many European leaders have warned that the West accepting the peninsula's secession could prompt Moscow to move on eastern Ukraine. The pro-Russian officials' assets will likely be frozen and a travel ban imposed on them when the EU's 28 foreign ministers meet in Brussels Monday for a vote on the measures. Depending on developments in Ukraine and Moscow, further sanctions could come out of a two-day summit of EU leaders that starts on Thursday. An EU summit last week suspended talks with Russia on a major economic pact and visa agreement. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Berlin.
The number of countries involved in the search for the airliner that went missing last weekend with 239 people aboard is increasing.
The search area has been significantly expanded and the nature of the search has changed. From focusing mainly on shallow seas, we are now looking at large tracts of land crossing 11 countries as well as deep and remote oceans.
Malaysia's Transport Minister Hishmuddin Hussein speaking to reporters in Kuala Lumpur today. The addition of 11 more countries brings to 25 the number of countries involved in the search. It's widened because officials say the plane may have gone as far north as Central Asia. Also, officials are focusing their investigation on the plane's passengers and crew. Amid indications that the plane was deliberately steered off course, authorities say police are examining a flight simulator taken from the home of one of the pilots and are looking for clues pointing to anyone else on board with aviation experience. Authorities say they are still waiting for some countries to respond to a request for background checks on passengers. The official start of spring is less than a week away, but as NPR's Jim Hawk reports, a late winter storm is on its way to the Mid-Atlantic.
Texas and parts of Oklahoma got thunderstorms and hail on Saturday. Now, National Weather Service forecaster Bruce Sullivan says very cold air from the Great Lakes region is colliding with that moisture and is heading toward the Mid-Atlantic.
We're going to have some cold air in place, and the moisture overriding that very cold air is going to lead to some wintry precipitation across parts of the Mid-Atlantic region, mainly Sunday night into early Monday.
More than 6 inches of snow are predicted in the bullseye of an area stretching from West Virginia to Baltimore and Washington, D.C., creating the potential for poor travel conditions Sunday night into Monday. But take heart, by the calendar at least, spring officially arrives this coming Thursday. Jim Hawk, NPR News.
And this is NPR News.
All right, folks, well, once again, we're glad to be back live, finally. It's been a journey. I was gone for 2 weeks in Scotland. I just can't get Mr. Elias to host this show. Maybe Jerome Esprit will host it the next time I'm out of country. Or even Dr. Princess Aldea. I mean, people were like, where are you guys at? Why are you guys not here? So
Elias
we'll
pair up next time. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
We'll
all right,
pair
you
up.
Got it.
Oh, I can be a part of it too now.
Absolutely. All right, we'll do it. Good to go. All right, well, we're glad to be back, and it's time for our final thoughts. And ladies, but first, Dr. Princess Aldea, your final thoughts.
My final thought is this, and I must say this because it's so important for us to come to realize our true happiness. And when we do, the journey to that fulfillment always brings us to the truth of who we are, the truth of God, the truth of peace, the truth of love. Thus, we will also minimize those situations that are brought on by mental ailments such as rape, such as depression and stress and even death early. I want to invite everybody to this truth. If you choose to smile and be happy, things that will inspire you to smile and be happy will find you. So it's up to you this week and forever. Always make a choice to smile even when you don't feel like it. and make a choice to be positive and happy. And those like things will find its way to you in your life. So I love you. Everything was, it was a great show today. Thank you, Jay, and everyone. And I invite everyone to visit me online at bountifulgroup.com. And also, don't forget to visit me on Facebook and to visit transformingdetroittv.com. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. And, Jerome, man, final thoughts.
All right. Now, since, Jay, you have that little Arsenio thing going, if you have not seen Arsenio, the show to watch would be the one that he did on Martin Luther King's birthday. The Alphas came on and stepped. Maya Angelou was on there. That show was worth its weight for another three seasons for me. So if you want to see an Arsenio show, watch the one that he did on Martin Luther King's birthday. And,
okay.
And on that note, wait a minute, really quickly, Adult Swim has announced that the network has greenlit a new half-hour live-action script comedy from Aaron McGruger titled Black Jesus. Now, the series will find Jesus living in present-day Compton on a daily mission to spread love and kindness to the neighborhood. That should be funny.
Oh, my God.
Charlie Murphy
Jesus.
And John Weatherspoon is in this, so I'm sure it's going to be
Charlie
Murphy. Oh, man, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. This is going to be funny. Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much, Jerome. Wow, that is crazy. Mr. Elias Megas, the first and last word, my brother, final thoughts.
Man, look, Darren Sharper, man, all guys out there that are taking advantage of women and having to rape them, hey, man, all I can say to you is you need help. Go get psychiatric help. Go take yourself in, commit yourself, do something, man, besides raping women, man. That's just sick, man. That is really, see, there's enough women out here that are willing participants to have sex with you guys. Don't rape women. It's disgusting and it's degrading.
You know, the thing is that when we talk about Darren Sharper, here's a guy who had the world. You know, this guy was an analyst on NFL Network. He was pretty good. Very nice-looking guy, dated Hollywood starlets, but now he finds himself in an orange jumpsuit. And, you know, and I'm not, you know, listen, I'm not even going to condone the fact that, hey, you need to talk up a female to try to get sex. I don't think that's right either. I think what you have to do is try to figure out a way to live your life the right way. I know when you're young and you got a lot of money, you think that the number one priority for you is to get some female in bed because you are who you are. Well, what does that say about you? In my opinion, you just make yourself like a piece of garbage. And anytime you don't have any self-respect about yourself when you do things like this, man, I don't know. All I can do is shake my head and hope your mama is not listening or condoning what you're doing. And on that note, Mr. L.E.S., if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
I want to thank Callie Wood and Rich Sister for sitting in, but as always, from Mr. Elias, from Jerome, and of course, Dr. Princess O.D., I'm Jay. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a great work week, and we'll see you here next Sunday. And remember, if it is Sunday, we're talking serious stuff. It is the serious side. God bless everybody.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.